Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been warm and sunny, and the town is beautiful. The grass is green, and the flowers are in bloom. This town looks like calendar art, except on Memorial Day it was raining, it was cloudy, but still a few hundred people came up to the cemetery. They're all carrying umbrellas, which gave the occasion sort of majesty up there, standing big crowd under umbrellas in the rain. It made you feel as if some celebrity had died, and you wondered, which one would you like it to be? We weren't sure. We weren't sure. Senator Kay Torvaldsen came back at last this last week, the oldest man in Lake Wobegon, 93, we think. We're not sure. He may be a little bit older. He's very coy about that. He was away for most of the winter after New Year's Day and all the way to the end of April. He was off on a cruise to South America. He went to Barbados. He was in Costa Rica with his caregiver, LaVon, who we believe took better care of him than what we were counting on. And he gave her a severance check for $3,000, and it came back from the bank. His daughter, Mary, looked at it. It was not his signature on it, so she closed the account. And then the bank said there were three more checks for $6,000 apiece, and they'd been cashed in Texas and in Albuquerque and in Baja California. So evidently he got schnookered, Senator Torvaldsen, but he does not mind at all. "She gave me a new lease on life," he said of LaVon. "I thought I was done, but I'm only beginning now," which of course made his daughter Mary tremble in her shoes. She's 71 years old. She would like for him to be done so that she has room to get old herself. The prom was this last week. It was a little late this year because they could not hold it in the school gymnasium because of damage they did to the wood floor last year from two truckloads of sand that were dumped on the wood for the holiday in Barbados theme last year. And so they had to hold it away. And the supper club where they wanted to hold it, the Into the Woods Supper Club in Brainerd, did not have an open date until Wednesday. And so 100 young men and women, beautiful young women in strapless gowns, shiny strapless gowns, all different pastel colors, like tropical birds, standing there by the two buses that were going to take them up to Brainerd. And all of the boys, every single one in tuxedos, and pictures being taken by their parents and circling around each other and flirting and laughing and touching each other. Four Norwegian bachelor farmers sat on the bench in front of Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery and watched this scene with great interest. These young people heading down a road that the bachelor farmers avoided. They never took a step down that road. It's the road that winds up years later, you're sitting at a breakfast table looking into your coffee cup, and someone is saying to you, "Why don't you ever talk to me? What's wrong? Why don't you tell me what's wrong?" Nobody has ever said that to a bachelor farmer. What's wrong is that there is somebody asking you what's wrong. If nobody noticed it, neither would you. You would just go sailing on. The Lake Wobegon Whippets opened their season on Memorial Day weekend. They opened against the Avon Bards, and the starting pitcher was Suzanne Swenson, who is the cousin of Wayne Tomerdahl, who is the slugging first baseman. Suzanne pitched in fast pitch softball down in the cities, and then she came up to Lake Wobegon to work in construction for Carl Krebsbach, and they tried her out, and she's a fabulous pitcher. The Bards argued over this. They argued that the rules of the Old Sod Shanty League do not permit underhand pitching, but the Dutchman argued that this was actually a submarine sidearm pitch. And it was thrown by some old Detroit Tiger pitcher way back in the 1930s, and he seemed to know what he was talking about. And the umpire, Hilmer, did not care to listen to any more, and he said, "Play ball." And so she went out on the mound, and she started the game, and she overpowered them for four innings. It was a tremendous pitch. It just came in at an odd angle, and it kind of sailed up and in on a right-handed batter, and she was shutting him down for four innings. And then somebody managed to tap the ball, and it was a slow roller, and it was off to the left of the mound, and she dashed over for it, and she sort of bobbled it a little bit, and then she still tried to make the throw, but off balance, and she threw her shoulder out, and she had to sit down. She sat down at the end of the dugout, and Ernie, the old knuckleballer, came in. He didn't think he was going to, so he'd finished four beers already. And beer does not improve the knuckleball. He went out there and essentially threw batting practice to the Bards, and the Whippets lost by a score of 13-4. And Suzanne sat down at the end with a jacket wrapped around her shoulder, and she sat there weeping, which nobody had ever done in a Whippets dugout ever before. They were astonished. They offered her a beer, a cold beer, and she took it and she put it against her shoulder, and that helped a little bit. And then the Dutchman's daughter, Margaret, came down and sat down by her and put an arm around her. And that seemed to help, though none of the other Whippets could imagine ever doing such a thing for a teammate, but there it is. She is a fine pitcher, and allowances must be made. So, Pastor Liz preached last Sunday. She preached the Gospel of John, and she looked up in the midst of her sermon, and there sitting way in the back and off in the corner was Kate Enquist, who was wearing a sort of a cape and a kind of a little white cloth over her head, and she was wearing a slight transparent veil. And the sight of this girl so confused Pastor Enquist. She had come down out of the pulpit, which she sometimes does, and she came down, and then she saw Kate sitting back there, and it threw her off completely, and she lost track of where she was in the sermon, and she started talking about texting, and she was talking about how these graduates from the class of 2015 are sentimental and hoping that they will always be friends forever, but they're entering into a world of change where people go online and sit in chat rooms and they tell intimate secrets to strangers far away who never talk to their own families or to their own friends or people next door, people texting back and forth all day, sending emails, information going back and forth, and people feeling more and more isolated with thousands of pictures they carry around on their telephones, and yet they feel lost in the world. She was giving this talk that as she gave it, she recognized she was recycling something she'd heard on the radio from an evangelical station, but she was looking at Kate Enquist, who had come to see her back in April and told her that she, Kate, was pregnant, and she had decided not to tell the boy who was the father, and she was going to have the child. Well, she got back in the pulpit, and she finished the sermon. She was a little disappointed to see that nobody in the congregation seemed to have noticed that this made no sense whatsoever. Kate came to see her afterward. Kate is not pregnant anymore. She had a miscarriage. She's okay. She still has not told the boy. She doesn't think she will tell him. She hasn't seen him in a long time. The idea of motherhood changed her, she said. She's a different person. She has found her place in the world. She doesn't exactly know what it is, but she's rid herself of all of her anxieties about what she may do in the future. She's going to quit her job at the library, and she's going to move to Portland, Oregon, and she's getting a job in a coffee shop, a relaxation coffee shop, and where the coffee is laced with lavender. And so... And so people find their troubles eased by it, and there's music playing that helps people breathe properly, and there are cats in the coffee shop who wander around and sit in people's laps, and sometimes people stay there for hours, some people have stayed there for days. It's a very relaxed place. What was I talking about? I was heading for something. I ran into Senator Kay Torvaldsen. He was there standing out by Krebsbach Chev, and he was looking at this enormous elm tree that Bud, the village maintenance man, thinks is diseased, and he's treating it, but he may have to take it down later this summer. The old man said, "You know, I climbed that tree once. I climbed that tree in order to impress a girl, and she was standing down at the bottom. I climbed all the way to the very top, and as I looked down through the leaves, I could see her walk away with another boy." "Did I ever tell you that story?" "Yes," I said, "many times, actually." "Well," he said, I heard here this last week that boy died. He's 93, and so she's alone in Chicago. She was a wonderful kisser. I haven't been in Chicago in a long time, but I think I could still find my way around." I walked away. I'm not interested in hearing about the love life of an old man. I walked away. That was back on Memorial Day. I walked out to the ceremony out there in the cemetery. There they all were under their black umbrellas. And there was Mr. Hoppy and Mrs. Hoppy. Every year they go out there and they walk way off to the edge of the cemetery and they look for the grave of her first husband. And she plants flowers there. And every year it's the same ceremony. Mr. Hoppy stands looking down at the stone and he pretends to weep. And he says, "Why did you have to die?" And Mrs. Hoppy looks up and says, "Oh, shut up, shut up. I've heard that before." Well, we've heard it all before. Everything I've ever heard in Lake Wobegon I've heard before, but I still go back. I'm still trying to figure it out. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.